Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Well, good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well today. How about you?
I'm doing great on this fabulous moon day. And I'd also like to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And today on The Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about the transit of Mercury, changing direction. Mercury will now start moving forward, which will help us progress on all levels. We will discuss the behavior of Mercury as the lower mind and its place in our everyday lives. This show will explain the Kriya Yoga concept of intelligence and the operations of the four mental functions. How we think is what we become. But thoughts need belief to make changes. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul to emit your thoughts with the prana power of intention. So, Swami, I'm wondering that through our Kriya Yoga Labyrinth studies, that Mercury rules Gemini and Virgo, right? So Gemini is in the third house. And the key phrase is, I think. So obviously this must all have something to do with that. So those of us who are studying with the labyrinth can use that as a tool to enrich our progress.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then it also rules Virgo, which is the sixth house. And that's all about analysis, right? That, and so the whole thing that we want to try and see is that what's going on in our environment right now is Mercury is stations direct. And what that basically means is that it appears like it's stopped, a station point. It's not moving. Because it has been retrograde since about the 5th of this month. And so now all of a sudden we're going to have this forward motion of Mercury. And I think the effects will be subtle, but it can bring a lot of hesitation and doubt in our thinking when it's retrograde. There's a lot of doing over, it seems, that when Mercury is going backwards as opposed to going forward in direction. So now all of a sudden it's going to seem like it's staying still and then it's going to start to move forward. And that, I think, will help clear up some of that hesitation and doubt in our thinking and maybe help us make quicker decisions, maybe even clearer decisions.
Well, I think that's very interesting, because when you see what's around you and what's going on in your own personal lives, and I can see it with myself that there's been this hesitation to move forward, whether it's in a relating to work or relating to projects that you have to do around the house or whatever it might be. And I can already kind of sense the fact that something's about to happen. It's kind of like an iceberg getting ready to break off from the ice, and it's just going to just come flowing through. And that's kind of like what I feel is what's happening right now, is that there's going to be this momentum that's going to happen. Is that kind of like what's going to happen to all of us, and we just have to be aware of it?
Well, to answer your question, I mean, I think it's really subtle. But, yeah, that's that's kind of like how it could, you could internalize this particular transit, that all of a sudden whatever has been kind of like caught up in some sort of log jam is now going to free up and start to flow downstream. And I think it's a good opportunity, especially, you know, like what you were talking about, for those that use the labyrinth to actually work with your lower mind and the functions of the lower mind. Like we say, there are four mental functions that we use that comprise what we call being intelligent, that perception, reason, memory, and intuition. Those are the four mental functions that we typically want to start processing and tailoring our responses to. Perception is how we take information in through our senses. And reason is how we organize that information. So you can catalog it, you can systemize information. And memory, of course, is experience. What happened the last time? And intuition is your ability to fabricate probable realities, to take consideration for consequences, to be able to compare, if I do this, there's a possibility that this, this, and this could happen, so that you're not just shooting from the hip, but you're taking kind of responsibility for what it is that you're doing, and trying to manage your karma in a lot of respects. Because remember, what we're putting out is what we're getting back. And so the more intelligent we are in our responding to whatever's going on in our environment, then the more control we have of what we're going to get back.
So it seems to me that what I would want to do is concentrate on my third house. You know, like I said earlier, the key phrase was I think, and that you already said having to do with the lower mind, and then you've already discussed the four functions, and also having to do with communication, everyday life, siblings. I mean, things we know that's kind of what that third house represents, and then obviously Virgo, you had mentioned that too as well. Mercury rules Virgo, which is the sixth house. I analyze having to do with health, work, service, and maintenance. So this is a time where we should kind of be maybe focusing on those two houses and applying everything you just said, those four mental functions, to those two houses, right? Does that to me would make sense if we want to apply perception, reason, memory, intuition to those aspects of the third and the sixth house.
Yeah, it actually, you know, when you really examine it, I mean, the whole thing is what you're trying to do is develop your lower mind, but then also apply that to all your houses and not just limit it to, you know, the third house and the sixth house, that it becomes like a mode of operation. It becomes a level of consciousness. And when you really kind of examine Mercury mythologically, I think it can give you some insight into the whole concept of how we use the mind. Because in mythology, Mercury was the messenger, the winged messenger. It was the one image that could go from Olympus to Earth to the underworld. Now, the way that plays out is that your conscious mind, which is symbolized by Mercury, can be in your physical body. Your mind can examine the mind, because in Kriya Yoga, mind isn't limited to brain. That's kind of like a Western medical concept, that mind equals brain. But in the yoga model, actually the body is in the mind. And so the mind can be in the mind. So an example of your mind being in the mind is you take your mind out of the body, and let's say no matter where you are, you're trying to figure out what you have in your refrigerator. Now, of course, when you're rummaging through your refrigerator, you have no awareness of what's going on in your body or in the room that you're in at the time. But what you recognize is that, you know, you have this tool, this capability. And then, of course, the other use of the mind is that, you know, the mind has access to what was called Olympus, the realms of the gods, endless possibilities. So you can turn your mind to your creativity, your imagination. And that's, I think, where the real power of the mind is employed when we practice Kriya Yoga. Because we're constantly working the mind in conjunction to whatever else we're doing. And we recognize that the mind can be in the physical body. Say, for example, right now you could put awareness in your left foot. Have total awareness of what's going on in that foot. Then two seconds later, you put your mind and you're trying to figure out what you have in your refrigerator. Now, while you're rummaging through the refrigerator, you have no awareness of what's going on in your foot. But you have awareness of what's going on in your refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And so using the mind in conjunction to the practice is constantly working the relationship between what's going on in my body, what's going on in my mind, and what's going on, you know, based on my observations. I can actually turn my mind to my creativity, my imagination, and I can change thoughts. And so, say, for example, you know, that's how you want to use your labyrinth so that you can work with all of the different departments of your life. So you would examine a department in your life, say, for example, your second house. You know, resources, values, money. And you use the same principles for that house. You know, you look and try and figure out what are my values, what is important to me. And hopefully, time you have a resource-based economy, that you're using what you need to produce the feeling you're really happy. But in the framework of living in the real world, you also have a monetary-based economy. And so you want to be able to recognize that you're going to need money. And so by creating a plan for that, and then using your mental functions, you start to organize a plan for that, if that helps you.
You know, it does. I see now that you really can't concentrate on just parts. You have to concentrate on the whole. And isn't that kind of like what we talk about in Kriya Yoga anyway, is always trying to become this whole person. So I guess it would make sense that we would have to, you know, dissect all the departments of our lives and use this particular energies that are happening right now to benefit all areas of our life. So I think what you're saying is we have to really exercise our mind and train our minds to be able to, I guess for lack of a better word, multitask. Like you said, I want to be able to know what's going on in my left foot at the same time rummage through my refrigerator, right? So I want to be able to strengthen the power of my mind.
Yeah, and that all comes with the practice. Because you have the lower mind, but you also have the higher mind. The lower mind is the part of the mind that's directly related to your senses, and it can only do one thing at a time. Now, as you get into the ninth house, then you're into your higher mind, which now means that you can start to access parts of the mind that can do more than one thing at a time. And the whole thing of the expansion of the conscious mind also that we talk about this whole thing of apotheosis.
I agree. Well, you know, I think we're going to hold that thought for a moment so we can hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners will be back in a few moments, and if you have any questions for Swami, I'll open up the phone lines and you can ask him at that time. So we'll be back in a moment.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody spirit, you know, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos. A cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the cosmic ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos, a practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of it is a lot of things together.
Kriya Yoga Mantra and Meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Prayan prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back.
Private sessions. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or
www.ipdtransform.com.
Namaste.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are Talking Consciousness. So now what I'd like to do is open up the phone lines to our listeners out there, and if you have a question for Swami, you may ask it at this time. All right, so Swami, so I'm going to continue on with my program for this morning, and in our description of the show, I said, how we think is what we become. And a lot of people new to the program may not understand what that means. And I was just wondering, could you expand upon that for listeners who have never heard that expression from you before?
Yeah, the whole thing that thought being an energy and capable of producing the sex, that form follows function, that first we have this thought and then it creates our reality. It's in quantum physics, it's the electron is both a particle and a wave, but it's a particle when being observed. So observation has effect on a reality. And a big part of understanding how that relationship works is you start to examine your reality and then you start to cross-reference it with your thought patterns. And then after a while, you can start to see how you can turn your mind to your creativity, your imagination. You can change thoughts and then start to emit them with this power of intention to affect changes in your reality. So for those that never heard that, I really think that the best way I can actually explain that is if you've ever done any web design, that if you have a program that you can create a website with, some of them have design view and code view. And design view is where you would see the website as you would look at it and pictures and all of the styles and everything that you would see online from a computer. But the code view is all this text and language that looks like lines of text. Yeah. And so that's kind of like how our minds and our reality are interlaced. And oftentimes if you're having problems with your design, you've got to fix it with the code. And the same is true with the mind-body complex. That learning your chakra system and learning how your mind works is a really important tool that you would employ with regard to a Kriya Yoga practice, mm-hmm. understanding how to organize your thoughts, how to recognize a department in your life, and then cross-reference that to a symptom or something in your physical body. Pain, discomfort, instability can give you clues into thought patterns. And then, like we said, turning your mind to your creativity, your imagination, because finding a thought pattern that is debilitating is great, but until you change it, you really haven't, it doesn't go away. You know, this release kind of mentality, you know, all you're doing is letting go of something and it comes right back. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go away. You have to change it. And then oftentimes it takes several times to do that.
So not only do we have to have an awareness of that debilitating thought, we actually have to take it one step further and, like you say, change the reward circuits in your brain, right? We have to actually mentally make that change. It can't just be, like you say, release and let God. It's awareness is first move, and then second move, you have to take action. You got to have a plan. You got to do something with it. So what made me think, as I'm listening to you, is that when we start every asana class, we say, you know, use the breath as a symbol to evoke the feeling that you're happy, that you're special, that you're good enough. And I think sometimes a lot of people they hear the words, but they don't integrate what those words really mean. And because it could mean different things to different people. So good enough for what, you know, exactly? You know, good enough to be alive, or, you know, good enough to be able to do postures and yoga. So what does that mean to you when we say those words?
Well, see, that to me is the essence of the practice of yoga, which is really, it's really more of a conversion. It's more of changing the source of sustenance that you use to validate yourself. See, that's what yoga means, is union, this yoking. Religion means to relink. That if you're drawing from things that are visible and tangible, you're drawing from what's called duality. If you're drawing from things that are invisible but tangible, you're drawing from duality. Duality is a very limited source of sustenance. And you're basically drawing from something that's going to produce fear and limitation. So the yoga part, you know, this whole thing of train your mind to look for spirit and train your body to receive that image for validation is the essence of the practice. But once you've internalized something that is unchanging and you're drawing from this thing called or prana or God, you're drawing from truth and wholeness. It has a different yield. It has a different return. It changes your entire being. But see, when you're drawing from that energy field, you have the benefit of what we call internal support. I'm drawing from a resource of energy that is producing a feeling in my body of calmness, confidence, and clarity. See, now when you start to change your thoughts, you can start to emit them with the power of intention. As opposed to if you're drawing off of the outside world or you're drawing from duality, you're still emitting your thoughts with kind of like what I call the placebo effect. You know, you got a 37.5% chance that it could affect change, but your mind is kind of small yet. And a lot of times there's a lot of doubt because you're drawing from fear and limitation. So with regard to the asana class or the Kriya Yoga practice, it's all about getting connected to this other resource that gives you internal support. And it changes the exchange of energy you have with your environment. Does that help? Does that answer your question?
So how we think is what we become. And then we said earlier, but thoughts need belief to make the changes, which you were just talking about. And now you have said before, and it's the strength of your belief, you know, it's the power you emit it with that make it happen. So then I was thinking, as I was researching for the show, is the words belief and faith, are they the same thing? And if not, what is the difference between the two?
Yeah, that part, I'm not 100% sure if they're the same thing, you know, because the whole thing with regard to the concept of belief and faith is that your faith should not be blind faith. Your belief should not be belief without proof. That there is this kind of leap of faith that we need to go from our attachment to things visible and tangible, or our attachment to things invisible and tangible, to a connection to something that's invisible and intangible needs a certain leap of faith, a certain sense of belief or trust without reservation. But then once you make the connection, then you know that this will sustain you. And now the doubt is gone. And then everything changes. But because most of our disciplines today don't connect you to the resource, then the faith part is constantly in process because you don't have proof.
Mm-hmm. So we just need to be careful about that seed of doubt, because that can undermine anything that we're trying to do. Makes perfect sense. Thank you, Swami. So, believe it or not, it's about that time where we need to start closing down our program. So I'd like to invite you listeners out there to visit our website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook. And also available to you listeners out there are the online classes you can access through the website, www.ipdtransform.com. Click on the link for the online classes that will direct you to Powwow, and there you can make selections. But keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune in next week. I believe we're going to be talking about how to choose a leader. We all know we've got the primaries that are coming up very soon, and so we're going to talk about finding a leader Kriya Yoga style. So, Swami, any final thoughts for our listeners today?
Well, I would encourage everybody to make intelligent decisions and use their mental functions to help shape their reality, if at all possible, and join us and take classes or whatever. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.